Okay, the Andy Finn Show is back, and we are talking about the current debate in the United States about the war in Iraq and how we got here and why. And the Bush administration has gotten indignant about the notion that people would dare to suggest that they played fast and loose with the facts. And I'll quote Dick Cheney again, because the president was out of the country in an undisclosed location in China. He said, it's okay to criticize the war on terror, but what is not legitimate, and what I will again say is dishonest and reprehensible, is the suggestion by some U.S. senators that the president misled the American people on pre-war intelligence. That is revisionism of the most corrupt and shameless variety. Well, let's recap what's come out this year. I mean, I was against the Iraq War, as all of you listening know, and I didn't believe the mushroom cloud stuff. The very first person to mention the mushroom cloud, you know, over American City was Condi Rice. And when I heard that statement, I was incensed because I knew it was demagoguery. And what happened was the Bush administration first said, well, Saddam's in violation of 17 resolutions. Basically, he's pushing us around and we're the United States and he shouldn't push us around or he shouldn't push around the world. Well, that's true. But the question is, do you go in and take him out, and then you're left with fixing the problem? As Colin Powell said, the Pottery Barn rule, you break it, you fix it. His father refused to do it for a couple of reasons, but one reason was he didn't want to be left holding the bag in Baghdad. So when that didn't work, the 17 resolutions argument, he said, well, he's got weapons of mass destruction. Now, the whole problem with WMD is it conflates several things, biological, chemical, and even nuclear weapons. And it's, oh, weapons of mass destruction. Hey, our conventional weapons are weapons of mass destruction. You know, the only recent use of chemical weapons I can think of outside of Saddam in the 80s and early 90s was the sarin gas attack in the Tokyo subways. It killed 78 people, I think. We have large bombs that can kill many more than 78 people, so even our conventional war could be considered weapons of mass destruction by some standards. Secondly, chemical, biological, and nuclear are very, very different. Chemical warfare, chemical and biological are both, all three are hard to master. You don't just say, I'm going to release chemicals, or I'm going to release biological. You could get killed, or your people could get killed handling the stuff and trying to manufacture it. So it's a delicate operation. Chemical doesn't kill that many people, although it's, you know, it's outlawed by a number of different treaties, and we're all supposed to get rid of our stockpiles. Of course, the U.S. has the largest stockpile of chemical weapons, although I don't think we would ever use them. But biological could kill more, because if you did it right, biological agents released into the air could kill, you know, thousands, even hundreds of thousands of people. But again, hard to master, hard to develop, hard to use, hard to deploy and use on an enemy. So I don't know that Saddam would really be very sophisticated with that. But we were told he would use it on the battlefield and they were ready to deploy chemical and or biological weapons within 45 minutes. The generals in the field had them. Of course, none of that was true in the end. And we got this intelligence from people that have been discredited. So it turns out, whether you're talking about curveball, the Los Angeles Times had a long piece explaining how we got duped by curveball. Actually, it was not us, it was German intelligence. And then German intelligence told the U.S. that they didn't believe what he was saying. It was the same with this other guy that Ahmed Shalabi put us in touch with a few people that inflated the claims about Saddam's chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons. And there was information inside the CIA at the time that said, you know, this guy shouldn't be taken seriously. We believe he's lied. One of these guys flunked a polygraph test. The CIA sent someone to the Middle East, gave him a polygraph. It turns out he wasn't reliable, And they had different motivations. Some of them wanted a visa. Chalabi once wanted the U.S. to attack Iraq, so he was willing to do and say anything, although he denies it now. And so the bottom line here is that the Bush administration was duped by these people. That's the best you can say about them, is that they were incompetent. But since the CIA knew and had information and included it in some of these national intelligence reports, caveats and mitigating things that said, you know, this is the claim, but we think there's counter evidence. There was counter evidence against the aluminum tubes that they weren't actually suited for nuclear weapons, but Condi Rice goes out and says the only thing they can be used for is nuclear centrifuges. Well, we had information inside the government that that was false. Now, if Condi Rice was denied that information, then Bush should have fired somebody. If she saw it and decided to ignore it, then she either intentionally built up the case for war in a way that wasn't warranted, or she was incompetent and she didn't understand the value of the information. Because it's like this boss I used to work for. I tended bar and I worked for someone who I didn't decided was not honest after a while. 15 weeks in a row, my paycheck was short. I work a certain number of hours, you know, could be, you know, 37 and three quarters one week. It could be 42 and a half. And when they add up the hours, they're in the book and you write it in. And when they add up the hours, 15 weeks in a row, they came out short. And when I complained to the boss about it and said, you know, I've been correcting this error for 15 weeks and I'm sick of it. They said, well, you need to understand these are just honest errors. I said, no, these are dishonest errors. How do you know? If you just one week made a mistake in my favor or in the other direction, then maybe it's an honest error. But every single mistake you made was in your favor and shorted me. Well, it's the same with the Bush administration's claims about WMD, whether chemical, biological, or nuclear. They never once underreported a claim. They always overreported the claims. They took the worst-case scenarios and told us that it was solid information. Colin Powell got up and said, this is not conjecture, this is fact. That's the way we know that they misled us. Now, was it deliberately misled? No, it's possible that they're all incompetent. That Cheney, Rumsfeld, Bush, Rice, Powell, Doug Fife, who was one of the drivers behind this, Karl Rove, Bush's right-hand man, Scooter Libby, Cheney's right-hand man, all of these people who were pro-war, it's possible they were all incompetent. But that's the best you can say about them. And so if it wasn't deliberate, they were duped. And they were duped by people like Ahmed Chalabi, who had every motive, every reason to want to go in. And they were duped by a guy with the handle of Curveball. I mean, if you believe a guy named Curveball's telling you the truth, what has this world come to? So I'm much less sympathetic to the Bush administration's claims now that it's unfair to criticize them. And this, everybody saw the same pre-war intel, all of that stuff. So when Cheney says it's dishonest and reprehensible to suggest that the president misled the country, no, what's dishonest and reprehensible is the way Dick Cheney has exaggerated at every turn the case for going into Iraq. And we know why they did it. They had made up their minds ahead of time to go into Iraq. So I'm just tired of this administration acting indignant. People are starting to get indignant because they were wrong. I mean, I think what happened was the administration said, well, we'll find the WMD and all this will be forgotten. Turns out there was no WMD because Saddam had been essentially contained. The bottom line is there were no terrorists really cooperating with Iraq. There were very few terrorists in Iraq. Saddam had no use for religious zealots. It's a secular organization. And while Saddam was a bad guy, it'd be nice to have him out, Iraq was not a problem vis-a-vis Al-Qaeda or vis-a-vis terrorism before we went in. It is now. There's a lot of terrorists there. In fact, it's a training ground for terrorists now. But I think it's very easy to make the case that Dick Cheney and George Bush and the people that decided to go into Iraq actually have hurt the war on terror. We are much worse off now, both in terms of how we're perceived around the world, because we've got 150,000 troops in the Middle East, the heavy-handedness with which we went against the world and insisted on going in, even though the only country that really went with us was Britain and the fact that we refused to listen to the rest of the world when they warned us about any number of things, from the fact that they thought it was a mistake, that it was overreaction to the danger, and that it was a serious mistake in terms of terrorism. Hosni Mubarak, the president of Egypt, said we would create 1,000 bin Ladens if we went into Iraq. And all of that was ignored. So I'm tired of hearing that the administration is indignant. They oversold this war. They're on record with all kinds of statements about we don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud. They had to raise the stakes to the point where they had to claim that we were in danger of being hit with a nuclear attack that would come from Saddam, be handed to terrorists, that he had drones that could reach the United States. It was all nonsense. And at the time, those of us that were paying attention knew it was nonsense. And all the Bush administration could come back and say is, well, we all saw the same intelligence. We all thought he had WMD. It's true that much of the world, much of the intelligence services, much of the Congress thought that he had WMD. But they did not want to go into Iraq. Only the Bush administration thought that it was important enough to attack Iraq. So, I'm just tired of this whole thing, and the Bush administration is taking a lot of heat right now, but they're getting heat that they deserve, frankly. So let's go back to Congressman John Murtha. So after Friday night, when the stuff hit the fan and the conversation degenerated as it did in the House of Representatives, we then saw this weekend a flurry of people appearing on the Sunday talk shows last Sunday. And I want to play for you some of the conversation between John Murtha and Tim Russert on Meet the Press.
In China, said, quote, your proposal would strengthen the terrorist hand in Iraq. How do you respond?
Well, Tim, I would hope, I saw he couldn't get out the door there in Beijing. I hope we'd open the door for him to start a dialogue about how we change the course. We need to change the direction of Iraq. I said a year ago, and you remember me saying this, we can't win this militarily. The military's done everything they can do. So now it's up to the politicians, up to us in Congress. Only we can send people to war, and it's up to us to find a way to solve this very difficult problem. I've got an outpouring of people crying on the phone, looking for a solution to this very difficult problem. So I'm very hopeful that my proposal is something they'll take seriously, that he'll get a few of us to the White House and talk to us about this very difficult problem, which the whole nation wants to solve with a bipartisan manner.
Congressman, according to our military experts, there are only 700 Iraqi troops who are fully independent and combat ready. That being the case, if we withdraw our troops quickly from Iraq, won't the Iraqi citizens be overwhelmed by the Al-Qaeda and Saddam loyalists? Are the Iraqis capable of defending themselves without the U.S.?
Tim, I'm absolutely convinced that we're making no progress at all. And I've been complaining for 2 years that there's an overly optimistic, illusionary process going on here. They keep trying to measure Iraqi troops by our standards. They don't even need to meet our standards. And until we turn it over to the Iraqis, we're going to continue to do the fighting. Our young men and women are going to continue to suffer. I go to the hospitals almost every week. I'm going to go out there again this week. And I see these young people are doing the fighting, and it's time to turn it over to the right. Give them the incentive to do the fighting themselves. They'll have to work this out themselves. This is their country. We've become the enemy. 80% of the people in Iraq want us out of there. 45% say it's justified to attack Americans. It's time to change direction.
And one of the things I think is important about that is the fact that 45% of Iraqis think it's okay to attack Americans. Well, we think we're there helping, and of course we're handing out candy to kids at hospitals, which is great. We're building schools. We're doing all kinds of good things, and people say, oh, the good news isn't being reported. But in fact, there's too many people that don't want us there. And it's bad PR to be there. The long history of Western occupation in the Middle East means that any occupation is going to be resented. We know that we're not planning to stay. We know that we're not planning to take over their oil fields, although we're going to insist that the oil be kept open. And we know all this stuff, but we aren't the ones that matter. The ones that matter are the Iraqis. So something has to be done about this. And Mirth is saying, you know, it makes sense to think about getting out. And the administration is saying, no, 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 we cannot talk about getting out. So when we come back, we are going to continue with a little bit more of what Mirtha had to say and some of the other points about getting out versus staying.